This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore along with Heather Atwood, and we are once again at the Pleasant Street Tea Company. I have to comment on your hat.
Okay, my hat is, what does it say on it? It says USS Gabriel Giffords, LCS-10, and there's a big picture embroidered on my black hat of a combat ship.
And it's a Navy, you have a Navy.
It's a Navy, exactly. Yep. And I received this hat because Gabrielle Giffords had a combat ship named after her. She's a former congresswoman from Arizona who was shot in the head and, you know, a victim of gun violence. But she had this combat ship named after her. And we interviewed some people at Gifford.org, which is an organization. Also, I think their real official term is Americans for Responsible Solutions.
Okay.
And it is a gun violence prevention organization. We interviewed David Shipman there, and I got the hat.
All right, yeah, and it's terrific. It's when I saw you walk in with that, it's like, wow, that is so cool, the Gabby Gifford. I never knew she...
We can take a picture and put it on your site.
Oh, that's a good idea. So, in context now, again, we're doing this with respect to the two moms who are on the MidPod tour, and this week, you went down to Washington, D.C., and this is where this all came about. So tell us a little bit about, and, you know, I don't want to give the whole thing away because the MidPod is up and running, and we'll refer to that, and we'll get the link up there and so on, but tease this a little bit for us.
Okay, so we originally went down to Washington, D.C. just overnight because we had an interview with a young woman named Leah Greenberg. Leah and her husband, Ezra Levin, started something called Indivisible. Indivisible is an amazing organization, and I'm going to try to tell you really quickly how it was founded. Ezra and Leah, they're a married couple, had, before they were married, worked on Capitol Hill as congressional staffers. Okay, they each worked there. They left Capitol Hill. They were working in sort of for nonprofits and things like that. And the election happens last fall. And their people, and they were incredibly upset, as so many others were. But they said, you know what? We know how to fight this. This is this couple, Ezra and Leah. When we were on Capitol Hill as staffers, we watched the Tea Party do this, and we know what they did. And basically, they disrupted everything, and they went after Congress. And we're going to write a document telling our friends how to resist this administration. So they wrote a Google document, and they laid out basically, they took the Tea Party practices. They stole from their playbook, and they distributed this Google document to like 200 of their friends, right? 200 people they knew, thinking if this would just be something that might help their friends. If one person read it, they would be really happy. That document was shared over 200,000 times within 24 hours. It went viral like you can't believe.
I have to interrupt and ask because it's always, I've always been curious about the term resist. What in context, what does that mean when you say resist and they were upset? So resist what?
Well, that I don't think resist is their term. It's not. And the term that they came up with is indivisible. That's what they...
So what's their goal? What's their mission?
Well, initially, their mission was nothing. Their mission was only to send out this document to their friends and say to their friends, look, this is what the Tea Party did. They disrupted. They walked up and down the halls of Congress, literally banging pots and pans, banging on doors. They were screaming into the mail slots. And their point was to make it so no one could get anything done. It worked. Because they were there on Capitol Hill. They said it worked. It drove us crazy. So one of the things is protest, okay? That protest may not get you to change any sort of policy, but it's going to screw with your congressperson's day. And the people in the office are going to have to deal with these protesters. And it just disrupts things, and they can't get things done. And that was the basic premise of the Tea Party, and this is what these people, basically what they wrote down in this document. Well, today, they had so many responses to them. They couldn't even handle it. They had all these hundreds and hundreds of emails were coming into them. They didn't know what to do. And they said, look, we're not prepared to be an organization. We just wrote this document because we thought it could help people. So you people out there in America who read our document, go do your thing and bless you. You know, basically they said that, right?
Okay.
Well, there are, but then they needed a name because it became a thing. Mm-hmm. Today, there are over 6,000 indivisible organizations in this country, mm-hmm. in every single state. Okay. There's more than one. I mean, they are in every state. And I can tell you that as the MidPod, they've been enormously helpful to us, these indivisible groups, because let's say we're going to Birmingham, Alabama, and we want to have a potluck dinner and we want to find out who to talk to. We just Google Birmingham Indivisible and we get in touch with them, and they say, yeah, you need to talk to this person and this person and this person, and this is where you're going to hold the potluck. We didn't do this in Birmingham, but we did it in Michigan and New Jersey, New Jersey. So Indivisible is an amazing organization. And not only that, people are throwing money at them. They have serious, serious funds right now.
And when the MidPod gets up there on this episode, who will you be interviewing? Who are we going to listen to?
We're interviewing Leah Greenberg. So she's the wife, the couple. So it was the two of them sitting in their little apartment, you know, who came up with this. But one more thing to add is, so there was so much energy around this that they acknowledged they had to actually become an organization. And I think maybe last spring they actually became a PAC. They're a 501c3 and a 501c maybe 4. So they are actually a PAC. They are, you know, they've got funds, and they are pivoting to the midterms. They are now officially focusing on the midterms, mm-hmm. coming up with a platform and endorsing candidates. And they are a major, major source of competition for the Democratic Party, because you don't see the Dems out there. You mm-hmm. see Indivisible. It is a grassroots energy like you've never seen before.
Are they aligned? Are they mostly Democrats?
They are not. They don't say they are aligned with a party, mm-hmm. but it's a progressive movement.
Whew, okay. Well, my head's spinning with that one. Now tell me about the visit to what's the name of it? Americans for Representative Solutions?
Yes. So the Giffords.org. Responsible Solutions, right. So the Giffords.org people. I think maybe on Twitter they're GiffordsCourage.org.
Okay.
So it's basically Gabby Giffords and her husband, Mark Kelly, I think mm-hmm. is his name.
One of the Kellys.
Yeah, right. It's Mark.
Two.
Yeah, exactly. They started this organization, and it's, you know, to combat gun violence in this country. And we interviewed David Chipman. Mm-hmm. He is a senior policy advisor for this organization. And what's really interesting about David Chipman is he is a former ATF person, you know, alcohol, agent, tobacco, and firearms. Yes, agent, right, that's the right word. And so he has a lot of experience with arms. And he was trained as a secret agent, and, you know, that was his for 30 years. This is what he did. But he is so disturbed by the way the gun movement has progressed in this country. It's the wrong verb, but he's really upset. So he's become a senior policy advisor for them. And he told a really sort of basic story, but of how we got to where we are today. Mm-hmm. I think he mentioned, like, the 1990s. The National Gun and Rifle Association was very active, and what their sort of thing was that we want to save hunters. You know, all the hunters in this country have a right to go hunting, mm-hmm. and we want them to be able to have their guns and go hunting. And it was a hunting movement.
Well, that's interesting, because that's counter to what the Second Amendment says. So I find that fascinating. And also, I have a friend, just as an aside, who posits that Second Amendment, he's got no problem with guns and the NRA, as long as you go back to when the Second Amendment was written and you use the weapons that were available at that time.
Exactly, musket.
but certainly, no.
Everyone should have a musket.
Well, I'm an avid supporter of the Second Amendment, but there definitely needs to be a conversation in this country. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Well, as he is. He believes in the right to own a gun. He does. But this is what he said is that fewer people are hunting, so fewer guns are being sold. So guess what? Now there's a whole new marketing program, and that marketing program says, you're not safe. You need a gun because you are not safe. And this is rhetoric. you know, and it sells guns, okay? And what has happened after, you know, the Texas disaster, that this whole, you know, new campaign about, see, that guy had a gun and he was able to, you know, shoot the terrorists. So this whole thing of ramping up the idea that we're not safe is, you know, part of just the rhetoric. And it's no longer about hunting. It's about America is not a safe place to be.
All right, so this interview with David Chipman, now that will be along with the other interviewers as well.
They will drop separate? Individually.
Okay.
Yeah, but you will be able to hear their entire
Greenberg. Okay.
Entire interview some point over the next month. So what we do is we drop a district interview, mm-hmm. which is a much longer, much more involved production, and then in between we have interviews like these. Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to point out, I was looking for the full interview on some of these. I didn't realize that you do post all the interviews somewhere on the site.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
But in a congressional district program, mm-hmm. we'll have maybe 6 different interviews, and we'll try to select the maybe 2 of the best ones, okay. and publish those in conjunction with the district okay. program. But you have to be a subscriber to listen to those extra interviews. The other ones that drops, we have a new show every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a district visit. Sometimes it's an interview.
Right.
So those interviews you don't have to subscribe to. Mm-hmm. It's the ones that go along with the district visit that you'll need to subscribe
and
to.
What's the subscription responsibility? What's that?
You go to Patreon, and there's a link to it. Mm-hmm. Patreon is what all these sites use. And you just choose how much you would like to contribute to us
okay.
to keep the MidPod mothers on the road.
That's right.
It can be $1. It can be $5. It can be more than that.
And I'm guessing you don't sit in first class on the flights?
We do not. No, we do not.
Not yet. Okay.
No, never. That's not going to happen.
All right. And finally, Heather, you also had a fascinating visit as well in Washington, D.C., besides these other 2 visits.
I did. This is a little local promotion I have to send out there. There's a woman named Eliza Rathbone. She now lives in Rockport. She is such a lovely woman, but for 30 years she was the director of something called the Phillips Collection in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small museum. It's actually the first museum of modern art in this country. It was founded in 1921 by a man named Duncan Phillips, and he believed that Americans should be seeing this new art that was being produced. And Eliza lived in Washington, D.C. She raised her family there, and she was the director of this museum. And now she's basically, I would not say she's retired, but she has moved to Rockport. And I've become friendly with her. And she just curated a show at the Phillips again, which was a wonderful, wonderful show. And I just encourage anyone who is listening to get to Washington, D.C. just to see this show. What Eliza did was take this very, very famous, prominent painting that is part of the Phillips collection, a painting by Renoir mm-hmm. called The Boating Party, mm-hmm. or Luncheon at the Boating Party.
Okay.
Luncheon for the Boating Party. The Boating Party. That's
all
how
right,
people
we'll
know
we'll
it.
Get it.
Yep. It's a bunch of people standing around in this 19th century French restaurant on the Seine, and they're having a wonderful time. And it's just a joyous, wonderful painting. And what Eliza did is analyze this painting in terms of the people in it. So she finds out who every single one of these people are, what their relationship to Renoir was. One was his wife, one was his dealer, and this show is just wonderful. It has a lot of paintings that have been in private collections, so no one's seen them, that Renoir had done that are associated with this restaurant, like sort of views across the river. Mm-hmm. to this restaurant, so you can see the restaurant in different views, portraits of all these people, the stories about them. It's really just a wonderful show, and it's based on this one painting, which is a nice way to do it. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm amazed.
That was 24 hours in Washington, D.C.
I know,
how do you like
incredible.
That, right?
That's
incredible, yeah. I know you didn't sleep while you guys were down there. All right, so stay tuned for the next edition of the MidPod, and that is Heather Atwood with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.